Thank you for downloading the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast. For more podcasts as well as breaking news, visit prweek.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast on everything going on in the world's PR and communications. We're having a special podcast this week from the PR Decoded Conference in Chicago, and I have a special guest who basically just got off stage. That's Aaron Quitkin, the CEO of KWT Global. Aaron, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what your panel was about. I heard it might be slightly controversial, one of the more controversial ones of the day.
I was worried going in because of that. Basically, it was a discussion around how we're in a purpose economy on the edge of becoming a purpose echo chamber.
Okay.
I started off with the Fonz jumping the shark, mm-hmm. and I also talked a little bit about brands that I think are doing it right because they're built on purpose versus marketing on purpose. Mm-hmm. So we called it the washers, the wannabes, and the winners.
Okay.
So I think I gave equal love to the companies that are doing it right, like the Patagonias and the Kinds and the Lisa Sleeps of the world. Mm-hmm. But I was also fairly critical, maybe even a little harsh, on Nike with its Colin Kaepernick campaign, which are now at a year anniversary around.
Yeah.
And even questioning the intention behind P&G's secret brand and supporting equal pay for women. Not that I don't support equal pay for women, mm-hmm. but the timing around it and whether or not they're doing it just for PR purposes, and is it authentic? So we talked a lot about authenticity. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing with presentations is if people are on their phones and if they're taking pictures of slides, it's a good thing. And mm-hmm. I felt like more people are taking pictures of slides than they were on their phones kind of texting back and forth.
All so right.
Hopefully it went well.
So by the way, I think that is the first Happy Days reference in the history of this podcast. So congratulations for
I'm
that.
I'm 49. So there's that.
Thinking about what you just said and the examples you gave, I mean, it seems like the thing to me is when you think of a Patagonia or Kind, you know, the concept of that, those brands are baked into it. You know, you kind of know what you're getting when you
right.
work with Patagonia.
Or, great product yeah. and you and a great company, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So you mentioned something to me once about Patagonia and surfing, right? As part of their culture, there's you can kind of just go and surf, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember now.
Okay.
This is what happens when you're so old. I just can't remember things.
So, but why do you think Patagonia is somebody who does purpose well?
Well, I think that they're courageous. So, you know, standing up against the Trump tax cut, accepting the $10 million, and then redonating it to sustainability and the environment, knowing that that administration doesn't believe that there's global warming that's going on,
right.
I think that's courageous. But also, they were founded based on purpose, based on strong values. So I should rephrase that. No one's founded based on purpose, they're founded on values. Mm-hmm. Values then lead to purpose, and then if you do that right, then you're creating trust with your key stakeholders.
Okay.
Unilever is also an interesting example because they were not founded based on the values that we're talking about, but they were almost like reestablished, mm-hmm. not in like a Wells Fargo way, but they were reestablished based on new leadership that said, you know what, we're gonna divest ourselves of brands that don't align with our values, that don't give back to the world and don't meet our sustainability goals. Mm-hmm. I think that is brave in the same way that CVS did when they surrendered $2 billion of revenue mm-hmm. to go tobacco free, or Dick's Sporting Goods is now doing and contemplating whether or not they're even gonna sell guns at all in their stores.
Yeah.
That to me is kind of living your purpose because it's baked into your business.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned some that don't do it so well. Give us an explainer for why you put some of those on the list.
So a couple of them. One is because I feel like it's just a PR stunt. Hmm. I mentioned Vans because yeah. they announced on September 11th they've made their largest donation in company's history. Why September 11th? Because they're clearly either tone deaf and they didn't realize the dateline of September 11th. How you cannot know that is beyond me. Mm-hmm. Or they're trying to draft off September 11th goodwill or mm-hmm. coverage. And that's upsetting to me.
Right.
So that's one example. I think that the Colin Kaepernick campaign was just an ad. It was a campaign. They never used Colin Kaepernick ever again, other than him going to them to say, hey, you might not want to sell these racist sneakers. Mm-hmm. But that's on him, right? He still remains unemployed. He's never been signed. And I think that, that campaign, while the intent was probably good, because mm-hmm. it's to celebrate Just Do It, I think 30 years of Just Do It, and there's other people associated with that campaign, like Serena Williams, he was the headliner, and they knew it, mm-hmm. right? But I do think that was washing. I think that they are marketing through activism, mm-hmm. Which is different than marketing a really good product or taking on things like they do really well Things like, you know, everybody's a body, right? Everybody's an athlete. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of narrative is much more potent. And by the way, it's relevant to their brand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a lot of it is just walking the walk and talking the talk at the same time.
And having permission, I think. Okay. We keep going back to the Kendall Jenner, Pepsi situation, right? But like, why would a soda company
right.
have permission to talk about social injustice? Mm-hmm. And, you know, improving relations between communities and the police. It just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. So what was the reception you got to your panel? I mean, were there some oohs and ahs and things like that?
It felt very positive. Yeah. I haven't gotten any hate mail. You know, if you recall, I did this thing where I did a digital swear jar. So every time I said purpose, which is 38 times, I would donate $18 because it's the whole Jewish ritual of Tikkun Olam. $18 to a charity of the person's choice, whoever links in with me first, and it's Stonyfield Farm. So I'll be donating whatever it is, 36 times 18, I'm not very good, or 38 actually times 18, I'll be donating to some organization that helps to combat pesticide abuse. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun too.
So
but
that's
it felt
that's
overall
great.
Positive. It felt pretty good. And I think people appreciated the fact that I was authentic and honest.
Yeah.
There's a lot of glad handing, and I love all the case studies and the use cases. But listen, when a chocolate company gets up there and they're like, we're awesome because we're going to offer snack choices now, or we're going to encourage people to eat more legumes to offset, you know, the chocolate that they're putting into their pie hole, that's just ridiculous. That's fine that you're doing that because you should do that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you're purpose-driven.
So what do you see happening with purpose in the years coming up? I mean, so next year's an election year. It's going to be wild, both in regular media and social media.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing all kinds of normal, everyday brands are going to get pulled into this election in one crazy way that we couldn't even contemplate 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're assuming
that Trump is able to get a nomination and then drag brands in and do some shaming and whatnot.
Well,
right?
I am, but it's not just specifically about Trump. Like, if you look at the Kerrig controversy, I mean, it's Trump related, but mm-hmm. it was, you know, more driven by Fox News talking heads than
right.
anything else.
Right.
So, I mean, I think just with the way the internet works now, brands can just kind of get tied into these crazy stories.
Yes.
And it can happen very quickly.
It's happened with L.L. Bean. It's happened, yeah.
You know, like, so the one crazy example I always go back to is Depeche Mode has to talk to their publicist and put out a statement saying, look, we hate Nazis, because this group of white supremacists says, okay, Depeche Mode is the whitest band ever, so thus we're embracing
them. That's insane.
Them, yeah. You know?
I had no idea, actually, and I love Depeche Mode.
And it's this crazy story. Like, uh-huh. Who could have imagined this?
And you have to respond.
Right. So what do you expect to see coming up in this space in the next year or
well,
two?
Well, this is a very perverse thought, but I actually think one of the reasons among many that purpose is so important now to brands and the mm-hmm. companies is because we've never lived in a more divisive and animus-dick time, right? Mm-hmm. And I do think it has to do with the 2016 election. So when there's fear, people now migrate to hope. Mm-hmm. And where do they put their hope? Into other areas. So if they can't change things politically, maybe they can actually give back and do things kind of at home or in their office, right? If we have a new administration, right, will purpose still be important? Because will companies now think, oh, the government's going to do its own job, so we don't need to do it for them? So I'm kind of worried about that. I think there's mm-hmm. a little something there. But ultimately, what I'd like to see happen is purpose should be part of the norm.
Yeah.
It should be part of everybody's charter, just like the Business Roundtable is saying. It should be, I think it needs to be equal parts, if not greater than shareholder value. But I also think we need to have a standard to define what it is mm-hmm. and also figure out who's doing it best by that standard. And we should have watchdogs over it, because otherwise we're going to get more washers out there. And we can't confuse, and I mentioned this in my talk, product with purpose. So because Uno is now available in Braille doesn't mean Uno is a purpose-driven product, right? My response to that was, what took you so long? I had no idea it wasn't in Braille. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
But like, okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. So let me put you on the spot with this. You mentioned Nike before.
Yeah.
Okay, so falling flat with that campaign with Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
If you're a brand like Nike, what's an example of something they can do well, or they can do with something that's more in their mission?
Anything, I like it when they talk about how everyone's an athlete.
Okay.
I think that they have permission to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's universally applicable to all of us. You and I are both runners, even though I'm a Hoka One One guy. So I always plug them whenever
Full
I can.
Disclosure, I am a Nike man.
Yeah, there you go. So we balance each other.
Yeah.
Anything having to do with fitness, with health, Getting people running, like Nike Run Club, using technology for that, I think that's totally fair game. I'm not saying that brands shouldn't talk about social issues, but it needs to be relevant to who they are. And if they are going to, then they need to put a program behind it. I do think that Procter & Gamble, when it came to, I guess we call them P&G now, Like a Girl campaign wasn't just a campaign. It might have started like a campaign, but they actually put effort and program behind it to impact young women around the world, and they still do. They fell short in toxic masculinity, and I feel like it was a little bit of a PR stunt to jump in on the secret brand and now support equal pay for women, which, of course, I support. But was that really genuine and authentic? I don't know. Time will tell. Mm-hmm. Or do they think, ultimately, they want to sell more deodorant? In the same way that there was a lot, if you remember years ago, I think Unilever owns Dove, right?
Yes.
Before this new Unilever leadership, right? The Dove campaign got a ton of press.
Right.
Great. Do you really think, Frank, that Dove cares about women's body image? Do you think they just want to sell more soap?
Well,
maybe I'm just a skeptical fuck. And that's fine. You can call me that too.
I'm a rather cynical person, as any listener of this podcast knows. But I do think that it's probably some mixture of both. I think they do definitely want to sell more soap, for sure. But I do think they also know who their customers are, and they know what their customers are thinking about. And they looked at this campaign and really hit a nerve with it, too. Right. So I think it's a mixture of both, really.
Yeah.
So,
but you know where I net out is even companies that do good things for the wrong reasons, I'm still happy about.
Yeah.
Because they ended up doing good things. Whether it's Dove, whether it's Nike, and I know that their intent is good, and at least the human beings behind it, most of the time, I think the intent is good.
Yeah.
And if it creates conversation, and conversation leads to change, and that's the squishy part, because you don't know whether or not it's actually leading to change, the very fact that we're talking about it might make us think a little bit differently when there is injustice around us, and we can stand up against that. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I just want it to be a little tighter, and I want people to play by rules that are a bit more transparent, less opaque, and more authentic.
So look at that. You're a positive critic about these things.
I'm trying to be. Optimism's a core value of our agency, but we should still be a critic.
Okay.
We should always be trained to find fault.
Fair enough. Aaron, thank you for stopping by on the special edition of the podcast. I'll look for it up later this week, and thanks again, and safe travels.
Thanks for having me.
All right.